She's not here to judge. She's here to report the honest news on healthy living. She's Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. It's time for Naturally Savvy.
There is so much going on in the world of natural health news, and we've got the best gal here to share it with all of us. Leah Segedy is back. Hi, Leah.
Hey, girl. How you doing?
We are good. We are happy to have you back, Leah, as always. We are talking about the latest in natural health news. Tell us what is going on that you've read that is concerning, that is exciting, anything that you want to share with us today.
Yeah, well, we got a lot of great things coming up. Well, actually, I don't want to talk them great things, but a lot of health concerns. They just tied autism to air pollution. So if you go, time.com just covered it, and basically it was a study, and they found that there was really strong evidence that environmental toxins play a role in autism. And the reason that that is so incredible is because, you know, there's always questions like, you know, what causes autism, and we don't know if this is the exact cause, but we do know now that this plays a role. And what's even scarier about this is, you know, that's the outside pollution, but we know that our indoors, inside our house, is 4 to 10 times more polluted. And so I think there's going to be a lot more, people are going to look a lot more into pollution, and that's a good thing because that has a lot to do with a lot of the products in the natural space and having people switch over to better products.
I love that you're saying that, and that is so true. And I think that the more, now is it the first time that we've heard about autism being linked to outdoor air pollution? Because for some reason I thought that I had heard about that in the past, but or is this a new study that was conducted?
Yeah, this is a new study in the journal PLOS, so it's PLOS, Computational Biology. And I think what happens is you have a lot of studies that come out, but then, you know, some of the scientists say, no, there's not been enough studies, you know, and so this is more tying that even closer together so that there's less of a debate about it and more of a, yes, this does cause it. And I think in general, we don't know if this is a direct cause or if this is one of the things that are linked to it. But, you know, in general, I think that what we're going to find is the more, you know, pollutants that a child is exposed to, you know, environmental pollutants, they can come from all over the place, the more likely they're going to be, you know, autistic. And they also know things like, you know, overweight mothers. The more likely you are obese, the more likely you're going to have a child with autism. Well, I don't think that actually has anything to do with the fact if you're fat or not. I think it has more to do with what's inside your fat cells, you know what I'm saying, and what kind of pollutants and things like that that your body is holding on to. So I don't think it's like, you know, come down on the mother because she doesn't exercise enough or diet well enough. I think it's more about what is she being exposed to, because we also know that there's obesogens out there, and obesogens are nasty, nasty things, and they cause cancer and they cause you to become fat. Well, you know, if we're tying obesity to autism, I think they're just going to have to look more into why, you know, the answer of why, and then they're going to find more of these studies to show that these pollutants are in fact causing this.
I love that you mentioned the obesogens, because I know you love that word, and it's something that you educate people on a lot, and it's so true. Maybe you could just give us quickly, and then we'll move on to the next topic. What are some examples of obesogens that people are encountering in their diet or in their environment?
Oh, yeah, obesogens are awesome. Not awesome as in awesome, but they're great because they get people's attention. So obesogens, some of the main ones that we're talking about are high fructose corn syrup is an obesogen, and BPA is an obesogen, and the pesticide called atrazine, which is sprayed on corn, apples, cherries, all kinds of stuff, gets into the water supply, and we drink it. And so it's obesogens. Oh, and I love this. I just talked to Dr. Green the other day, who you guys know, he's the pediatrician for Dr. Oz, and he was telling me that the Koreans did this study about obesogens, and what they did was they overlapped atrazine with the obesity, you know, obesity rates in the United States, and found this correlation between where people sprayed atrazine and where the highest rates of obesity were. And I just thought that was fascinating, you know, because it is exactly, if it's getting into the water supply, oh my gosh, you know, people are drinking water and they're not even knowing that they're being exposed to atrazine, which is a classified obesogen. So, yeah, obesogens are scary. And I love talking about them because most women care more about what makes them fat than what's going to kill them in 20 years. So if you can talk about obesogens, which are also toxins that cause cancer, you tend to get people's attention more a little quicker.
Yeah, no, I could not agree with you more. All right, let's move on to the next topic. I want to talk a little bit about Sri Lanka because I heard that they are banning GMOs, which is a very exciting and interesting to me at the same time. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Sri Lanka, they decided to ban GMOs, and they basically looked at studies that looked at the sale of Roundup and chronic kidney disease. So they found lots of studies that said Monsanto's Roundup glyphosate, it's a weedicide, that it's linked to chronic kidney disease in patients. So people that are exposed to Roundup, that they basically get kidney disease. And they were just like, I don't think so, no. So they're actually banning the sale of Roundup in their country completely. And Roundup is the component of GMOs, and so they're essentially banning that. And it's fantastic because, you know, that part of the world right now, you know, companies like Monsanto are really trying to push their way in there because they're losing the battle here in the United States for obvious reasons. Definitely. And they're trying to go in other places. So this is fantastic.
And I do. I love it that they're getting banned there. So I hope that North America, U.S. and Canada follows Sri Lanka's lead because I think, and you can go into, I mean, I know I was in the summer, I was at Home Depot and they sell Roundup. Like you can buy it and put it on your lawn, which is pretty scary. I took a picture of it because I was like, whoa, you know, anybody can use it. So very, very good news in Sri Lanka. All right, let's move on to the next one. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on with Trader Joe's.
Oh, that was the funniest thing. So Trader Joe's just opened up a store in Boulder, Colorado. And, you know, Boulder, Colorado is known as the healthiest city in the United States. And they absolutely are. I've been there before. Those people are fantastic. If you have an allergy to anything, yeah, you want to live in Boulder. Those people know more about anything. So there was mixed results to the Trader Joe's in Boulder because when people went in there with their, you know, healthiest people in the world eyes, they found that Trader Joe's actually had preservatives in the food and things that, like GMOs in their food, and things that they said, hey, wait a minute, you're advertising no preservatives, no additives, no GMOs. And we know for a fact, and then this is for me doing my investigation like about 2 years ago, and I called Trader Joe's as a consumer and I said, does your dairy, do the cows that provide your dairy, do they eat conventional feed or organic feed? And they told me conventional. And what that means is those cows are eating genetically modified alfalfa, genetically modified corn, genetically modified soy, genetically modified cottonseed oil, and wheat. So that dairy is genetically modified, and it's going into all the products, basically. So they can't actually say that. And people in Boulder, Colorado, are a little smarter than the average citizens, and they said, hey, wait a minute, you can't say this. So it's becoming a topic in the news again. So what are they actually selling? And we know from Bonnie, the food babe, she did a great expose on them and said, basically, nothing is GMO verified. And so we don't actually know, because they don't have a third-party verification telling us that these ingredients are GMO-free or not. So we don't know. You know, I do know that they import a lot of stuff from Europe. And so Europe is only 15% genetically modified as opposed to our whopping 85% of our supply. So if it's coming from Europe, I'm more likely to trust it. But when it comes to dairy and meat, I don't touch it.
Now, are you talking about the Trader Joe's private label brand when you say it's not non-GMO verified?
Because, yeah.
Okay.
So they only promise Exactly. They're only promising it with their private label brand, but most things are under their private label brand.
Wow. Well, thank you, Lee. I mean, where did that time go? Because literally that was like
I
blinked and it was gone. All right. Well, Leah, we're out of time today. Thank you as always. Love having you on the show.
Thanks so much. It's great being here.
If you want to learn more about Leah, what she does, you could visit her at momovation.com. You can also follow her at BookieBoo, BookieBoo, on Twitter. I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, everyone, and stay well.